I'm glad to be here. My first trip into your church, I've been through your city, but I'm glad to be in the church. I've known Brother Holland was here for a number of years, and something of the progress of your church, but my first visit. For a little while, I'll talk on a subject that's been assigned to me. Preparation for the Antichrist. Find one thing about the Bible and its prophetic word, history of the world and the times in which we live. We're getting into that phase of human experience. Personally, I think we're in the end time. And that, before too long, the Lord's coming. Some of the things about which we should speak, I think, are evidences of it. The return of the Lord in the air for His saints immediately precedes the revealing of the Antichrist. And I try to stay by scripture and fact what I should say to you this evening. The word Antichrist appears in the New Testament 4 times. And all of these instances are in the book of 1 John and 2 John. Now read these verses. 1 John 2, verse 18 and verse 22. Little children, in the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Skip to verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Then in the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse of 1 John, and every spirit confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of an antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. The 2nd book of John and verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this church, the pastor, the families of all. Bless this special effort to teach and to hear and to study together Thy Word. Bless each one who shall speak. Bless all who furnish the music. And may the effort be acceptable unto Thee, profitable unto us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Forgive our sins, and bless all for whom we should pray. Use this hour to Thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. From the verses of Scripture,
that I have read, we know that the definition of an Antichrist is one who denies Jesus Christ, particularly one who denies that he has come in the flesh. It's mentioned several times. One who denies the Father and the Son, that would destroy the Holy Trinity. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus has come in the flesh, the book says, is Antichrist. And every person who denies the same thing is Antichrist. Then we would understand the importance of our recognizing Jesus, who was born of the Virgin, having been conceived by the Holy Ghost, is a vastly important teaching in God's Word. For he who denies it is Antichrist. The word anti means against. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver. An Antichrist. My subject is preparation for the coming or for the advent or revealing of the Antichrist. From these scriptures we may safely conclude that Antichrist then is the spirit or the person who teaches a deceptive doctrine. That doctrine that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. John said, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. John was a Jew. John lived in the age of the Jewish government under Herod in the time of Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ, said he was an impostor and a deceiver. They said he was of the devil. They did not accept him as being the Messiah that was born of Mary, therefore they were Antichrist. That spirit prevailed from the very beginning. John makes two references to Antichrist in the future tense. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. That's 1 John 2:18. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. 1 John 4:3. I judge, and I've not discussed the purport of my subject for this author, but I judge that Antichrist, as it is related to my subject, has reference to the coming of the beast of empire, or the man of sin, or the Antichrist that we read about in so many places, and particularly in the 13th chapter and succeeding chapters of the book of Revelation. Preparation for the Antichrist. The word preparation simply means to get ready, or to put in order. Preparation then would mean that there are certain things that are to be developed in the world to set the stage for the coming of this Antichrist. And we shall note these things presently, one by one, for a little while. The conditions in this world must be such that he is to be revealed. The Bible teaches us, as I shall note later, certain things that will be as evidence of the soon revealing of the Antichrist. There is no doubt in my mind but that the world conditions are described in the Bible that are to prevail at the time of the coming or the revealing of this man of sin or Antichrist. And I shall deal with them under four heads. First, conditions in the true churches. Second, conditions in religion in general. Third, conditions in the world economy. And fourth, conditions in the world politics. All of these things have to do with the preparation for the coming of the man of sin. Dealing with these in the order that I have mentioned them, first, conditions in the true churches in the world. Turn with me now to the book of 2 Thessalonians. And I want to read in the second chapter beginning at verse 1 and read several verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day will not come until there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that as God he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that they withhold or restraineth, that it keeps him from being revealed, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. There is one that restraineth, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Then there are some things that had happened before he comes. Said it will not come unless there be a falling away first. I think this has to do with the true churches. Falling away from a false religion wouldn't influence it. But falling away from the truth and from true religion, from the true church. I believe all of us have seen a wane in the interest in our own churches. When I go back in my memory to my youth and my early ministry and make comparison of the spirituality of the people then and now, I know it's different. We're cold and indifferent. then church houses would be filled to overflowing. Now there are always a lot of empty pews. So many of our people have grown cold, and so many of them have quit. Even a lot of our preachers have quit preaching. Falling away, I think I can pass that by saying that I think all of us know that there has been a falling away from the zeal that people once had. I think all of us would do well to sing over again, "Return, O, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sin that made thee mourn and drove thee from thy breast. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? Are you as happy today in the Lord as you were the day you were saved? We ought to be more so because of His blessings and our experiences. Probably many of us are not." Then we read in Matthew 2 and verse 19, "Because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold." John said in the second chapter of his first letter, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." The abounding of iniquity and the love of the world and the hearts of people who have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior has its telling effect upon the attendance and upon the power of our churches in the world today. And these are preparatory signs and evidences that the Bible teaches us concerning the preparation that's to be made for the coming of the Antichrist. I do not believe that anyone can successfully deny that these conditions prevail in our churches today. Once it was an evident fact that when a man who was known by his neighbors to be a Christian made a declaration, it was believed. Now you don't know who to believe. Being a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mount of what it did in the integrity and the veracity of our people as it once did. It ought to be so that when a man names Christ as his personal Savior and says, "I am a Christian," that ought to set him apart as a peculiar individual, one that can be depended upon and one who can be believed in every word that he says. But is it so? "Because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold." I never did believe that books and ponies would rob a lot of our churches of half the congregation on the Lord's Day, but I've seen it happen. The love of the world and the things of the world supersedes the love of God in the hearts of too many people. That's prophesied in the Word. And these are the things that are to happen before the Lord comes and before the man of sin is revealed. Now, passing to the second question. Conditions in religion in general in the world. I want to turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and read 4 or 5 verses. This will tell us some terrible things. 2 Timothy 3, beginning verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now listen, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That would tell me that all of these characters described here had some identity with religion. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power of it. Verse 5 says to us, as it describes that condition, definitely, they had a form of godliness. Most of the religion in a general sense in the world today is a formal religion. It is a ritualistic religion. It is a religion that does not so much appeal to the hearts of people as it does to the flesh of people. Recently, I've been in several foreign countries. I have seen shrines to Buddha, shrines to the Shinto God, shrines to Confucius, shrines to Mohammed, and to many of the pagan religions of the world in the countries that I visited in the last 30 days. The popular religions of the world today are the religions that strive to satisfy the flesh and the mind of people and not the spirit of people. Many of them will have a feast to start with, then have a bingo game, and wind up with a dance in the church house. Now that can't be denied. I know that's so. I've seen the bingo advertisements and I've watched them dance in their own church house. That's an appeal to the flesh and not to the spirit of people. And then that kind of a service will draw a crowd. They'll have a highfalutin time and go home shouting, "What a wonderful time we had. And oh, how broad-minded the pastor is." I'm afraid of broad-minded pastors, if you want to know how I feel. The book says the broad road leads to destruction and the narrow road leads to life. And I think the broad-minded pastors may be guiding folks in the broad road. And I'd rather trust the narrow-minded pastor that guides them into the narrow way that leads to life. Such say we had such a good time, let's go back to that church, and we might join it. What were they fed spiritually? Nothing. They had the lust of the flesh and the pride of life appeal to, and in a great sense, maybe satisfied. This is making preparation for the Antichrist. And I think that the present ecumenical movement in the world, in the religions of the world, as being the most favorable field for the preparation of Antichrist. The cry is, let us be one. One world, one religion, one economy, one government. And to confirm their position, they'll read from the prayer of the Lord as is recorded in John the 17th chapter and verses 21 and 22, where the Lord prayed to the Father that His people might be one even as we're one. And they say the Lord wants a one world religion, and we're not doing the will of the Lord till we tie all of the religions of the world together. All right, John 17:17 says definitely that he is to sanctify them in truth, for thy word is truth. He would have us to be one in spirit, and not one, oh, the flesh pots of the world at the sacrifice of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. When all Christians and so-called Christians, from Baptist to Roman Catholics, seek and find a level upon which all can agree, when that happens, and that's what they're trying to produce in the world and to keep up with current events and world religion, you know that's true. When that happens, there will no longer be a New Testament church in the world. While there's not enough truth in a lot of men to compromise and ecumenize with them, we've got to sacrifice the truth to join them. And when Christianity unionizes with the pagan religions of the world, there'll be no more Christianity in the world. This will be religious preparation for the Antichrist. For unto him and his false prophet, there will be but one religion. And it'll be the worship of the devil, the worship of the beast, worship of the Antichrist. And everyone who does not adhere to it and worship the beast will be under sentence of death. But I thank God there'll be some who'll stand. There'll be many who will die even under those conditions. But that's where we're headed. When all the religions of the world are unionized, they must leave true religion out of it. And certainly that is a fertile field for the Antichrist to take over when he comes. And we see these preparations in the making now. The next condition. This is the economic condition of the world. The economy of peoples and nations is the chief support of their culture and progress. Poverty and want is the most fertile field for atheistic communism. Individuals and nations have been for some time on a spending spree. For a good many years, this has been true. They're fast spending themselves, and we're spending ourselves into bankruptcy. Even within the last week before Congress adjourned, it raised the debt ceiling of our nation, our national government, to $465 billion. The interest on that amount of money at a low rate of percent is more than the total cost of all phases of our government, including the military and all before World War II. Then add to this the debts of the states, the debts of the counties, the debts of the cities and of the towns, of the school districts, and of individuals. Where are we? Present day. In the not far distant future, the people of our government will owe as much as all of our resources are worth. Yet they cry to us that we're the richest nation on earth and keep spending us into bankruptcy. When our money system fails, our government will crash into oblivion. Then our people will accept anything for food. Hope we're headed in that direction, whether we got sense enough to know it or not. That's the way we're headed. And when we get down to there, anybody who promises us something, we'll listen to it. A mother with honor with starving children may steal to feed them. A starving man don't care who's president. He wants food. A cold person wants clothes and warmth. And matter not who offers it. He'll listen and he may yield to satisfy his own needs. When the economy of the world fails and breaks down, economic preparation for the Antichrist is here. For he comes along and says, I am God. Yield to me and you'll have everything you need, and they'll fall for it. Everyone who does not have the seal of God in his forehead, he'll not fool the evil. That comes to the last fall, last subject. Excuse me. This is conditions in world politics. Conditions in world politics have much to do in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. A lot more maybe than we think. The political situation in the world must and will be in such a chaotic state that the whole world will be looking for a man to take hold of the affairs of the world and lead them out of chaos. Lead them out of destruction. Daniel says in the 11th chapter and verse 21 that this man will come in by flattery. I'm a veteran of World War I. I was on the front in the Argonne Forest on the Hindenburg Line when the war ended. We had no peace. I remember so well World War II. The other day I stood over the sunken battleship of Arizona in Pearl Harbor. Then I stood where we dropped the atom bomb on Nagasaki, Japan. Saw something of the ruins and devastations of war. All of these things have to do with politics. The Antichrist is not going to come in at the head of an army. He's going to come in by flattery. I'm the only man in the world that can solve the world's problems. And the world recognizes that he is, and they say that's happy. We're setting the stage for that thing now, fast. Through the United Nations Organization, we are now making a world government, and it is godless. I wish we'd get out of that thing. There never has been a public prayer offered in the organization of the United Nations. The godless regimes have dominated it in that field. So that's a fine field in which the devil can do his good work. In the world now, through that organization, the destiny of the world is held in the hands of five men. One of them is a Russian. Another is a Chinaman, another is a Frenchman, another is an Englander, Britisher, and another one is American. These five nations, through their chosen representative at the UN, have veto power over all movements of all of the rest of the nations of the world to enact anything that is for the good of the world. And I say to you, when godless China and godless Russia and rotten France can say to the world, you can't have this or you can't have that, and the world must bow to it, we're way down the road to political oblivion. The stage is fast being set for the coming of the Antichrist. I heard the conclusion. The climaxing act in making preparation for the Antichrist will be the coming of our Lord in the air. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and the living saints shall be changed, and together they'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the book says, so shall they ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine a world without a Christian in it? A world where there'll not be a sermon preached on next Sunday, nor a religious hymn sung. What chaos! I can't imagine it. The consternation in Egypt when the death angel passed over and took from the firstborn of man and beast brought a lot of consternation. But the Bible says, when that time shall come, two will be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two in the bed, one taken, the other left. Two in the mill, one taken, the other left. Can you even dream of what it will be in the whole world when in every family where there is a Christian and non-Christian, there will be a removal from their midst of the Christians and leave the others? I can imagine some fellow get up and his wife's gone. He looks around her clothes and where she laid them, which she prepared for bed. He calls and she don't answer. He looks far and can't find her. Nothing's been disturbed. He goes out in the yard and sees a neighbor and he hollers at her, have you seen my wife? No, have you seen my daughter? And that spreads throughout the whole world. Can you imagine it? This is the climaxing thing to usher in the coming of the Antichrist. Following that immediately we have the tribulation of the great, which ends with the battle of Armageddon. And then the Lord comes in the clouds of His glory with His angels, His saints, and the armies of heaven takes charge of this situation. Puts down all rule, all power, and all authority. Just a moment, and I'm through. In Revelation 13, there John sees a beast rise up out of the sea, described as a monstrosity, having seven heads and 10 horns, some parts of his body like a lion and the other like a bear. And the devil gives him his seat or his throne and power and great authority. And he'll rule the world. And then the Antichrist, false prophet, comes up out of the earth, and the two together have the power of the devil to do miracles and mighty things and havoc brought on earth. I'd rather be a Christian, as Mrs. Richardson sung so well. It pays to serve Jesus. These things are coming. They're going to happen. Antichrist is coming, and I think the stage is pretty well set. I don't know of a thing in prophecy to keep the Lord from coming tonight. That's to be fulfilled before He comes. And the man of sin is not going to be revealed until that that hinders his work is taken out of the way. When the Holy Spirit of God, which is administrator of Christianity, and particularly of the churches in the world today, moves the church out and leaves the world under the power and influence of the devil and satanic influences, it's right. Then he will be revealed. Later on, maybe in my subject tomorrow night, I may deal a little further with the same question. But I will conclude by asking the question. I think in our churches, when the Lord comes, the book says, when they find faith on the earth, there's not much of it now. And the conditions in the general religious field and the economic situation in the world, the political situation of the world, rise in preparation for this to happen. May I ask you, sincerely, as an individual, are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come? Are you ready for the revealing of the Antichrist? If you've not been saved with the grace of God, you're not ready. But you will be ready if you've been saved by His grace, and more ready if you've been obedient to all of His divine sanctions and commands and made an effort to be an obedient servant of the Lord. I don't believe in the split rapture, but I believe it pays to watch and to look and to pray. We'll be near ready by these conditions. I asked a pastor to come here. The choir to sing a song, an invitation. And if any of you here tonight are not ready for the Lord's return, won't you get ready? You say, how? The book says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe and thou shalt be saved. Commit your heart and soul to the Lord on the confession of your sins and ask for deliverance. I assure you, on the authority of God's word, you'll save you tonight. Will you come while we sing?